Hello everyone and welcome to the WoW Raidcast Episode 0. This is your host Shroomy of Earthen Ring US, and I am joined by a couple of excellent raiders. First, I would like to introduce Arion of Frostmane US, where he is the GM of Dying Breed, a 12 of 12 completed normal progression 10-man raid group, and Kung Fu Panda, an arms warrior of Earthen Ring US, where he raids out of AIE, personifying exceptional raiding skills and ranking highly on the World of Logs. So, sit back and enjoy this podcast. Well, today I'd really like to discuss some things not specifically to deal with raiding encounters, more of a how-to guides and things going on around the world, server to server. Mainly, I want to kind of get you guys' inside opinions of what's going on with your server and how it's being affected by Blizzard's, basically their current plan for the way alts are played and how it's affecting our pug status. I can remember back when I started playing in Kata, it was nothing to pick up with a group anytime if you had a character ready to go. You don't see that too much anymore, especially on our server. It's a little casual. It is a PvE server. I know some of the larger servers are probably not seeing this as much. How do you feel about the pug groups on your realm? Are you seeing them? Are you not seeing them very much, Arion?
Pug groups, full pugs, where full pug being where no one is in the same guild and it tends to only run once, those are basically non-existent. If they happen, they happen for tier 14 content and usually tier 14 normal modes, not even hard modes.
I think we're probably seeing not even that. A pug tier 14 on our server is exceptionally rare. How about Skullcrusher? Panda, are you seeing anything of that nature over there?
But on Skullcrusher, when the Dungeon Finder came out way back when, that's when the pugs started drying up there, and you don't see pugs for anything anymore. It's just non-existent.
Yeah, I agree. I think the LFR has been hurting the need to run pugs. That, and I want to lay the blame at the feet of the way they designed Pandaria and the way you can run alts. If you can gear two alts to be raid ready, you're probably putting in a lot of work. It's just not alt friendly. And it's a bit discouraging because I always enjoyed alts. Back whenever I played Kata, I got to raid almost as much as I wanted to. And a lot has been lost this expansion, in my opinion.
I would tend to agree. One of the big facets of my guild was we do raid on the weekends, but during the week, if we had enough people online, the fun part would be to get together our group of 10 alts and go in and do a raid with 10 alts. But now with just the way it takes to gear and get valor and everything, most people don't have a raid ready alt, and it severely limits the ability to play together when two people have raid ready alts and the rest are waiting to still try and get into their LFRs and stuff, and they don't really have a way to begin raiding any sort of relevant content without such a long catch up phase.
I agree. We're going to have a little discussion about that today. Hopefully we can help some people maybe catch up or get some alts into place to go and probably not do pugs, but at least throw stuff together in their guild to continue the raiding for the people that like to do alts, or maybe even people that don't, you know, have a team but would still like to raid but can't commit to a regular raid team. So that kind of pushes me on to my next topic. Panda, I'd like for you to outline more or less based on your experience of gearing alts. I know you like to fiddle with alts from time to time. How would you fast track gear an alt, say, straight, fresh 90, and bring him up to, I'd say, Throne of Thunder quality rating within, let's say, 3 weeks, just to make it fair? I think about a 495 eye level is about as entry based as you can probably take someone, but not with an unlimited amount of gold. Let's say probably 5k would be the most you'd want to spend as far as gems and chance. Maybe pick up a couple of extra pieces of gear if you could fit it into the budget. How would you go about that?
Well, first off, since 5.3 hit and they nerfed the experience level down 33%, it's become a lot easier to gear up alts, and I do like that a lot, and I do play around with some alts. But once you hit 90, they're actually, I was surprised when I did a little research to see just how many ways there are to gear up characters outside of, you know, buying items or things like that. You know, I'm assuming you hit 90 and you're probably a 410 to 430s range item level, and the first kind of breakpoint you need to get to is 435. Once you hit that, you can get into heroic dungeons, and that'll get you the 463 gear. From, I would just do scenarios and heroic dungeons from 435 until you get up to 460. Once you hit the 460 point, that's where the LFRs start coming in, and that's going to be the hard part, getting to the 460 mark.
Just I guess maybe as a rough guesstimate, just so people kind of know what they're getting themselves into, how many heroic dungeons, just ballpark number, would you think it would take to get somebody from that 435 eye level to the 460?
I really think it'd be based more on drops. If you can get, you know, a decent drop rate on the gear you need, you can, right, get there pretty quick. I'd say maybe, I don't know, if you get 7 or 8 pieces of 463 or 450 gear, you're probably going to hit that mark.
Okay, so maybe around 10 dungeons. That's probably tolerable if in a week, if somebody could do maybe 2 to 3 dungeons a day.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is you get valor from the dungeons, but since all of the reputation, or all the gear rather, is reputation based, you really don't have anything to spend it on. And I wish that would be one thing they could change a little bit, because that would make it even faster.
Now, what do you mean by the reputation gear?
Well, like when you're leveling and everything, you have the Shadow Pan rep, you have the Golden Lotus, you have the August Celestials, and all of those factions have gear from Valor Points, but they're all gated.
Okay. I could be mistaken, but I want to believe that in 5.3 they lowered the threshold on those gated pieces. Is that not correct?
You know, you may be right. I didn't look into those because I haven't messed with them in so long.
Okay.
They also they added the, you can champion the faction and get rep once per day from a dungeon and scenario, as well as the, I forget what the actual thing is called. It's like the commendation that increases your rep gain with factions by 100%.
Right.
Even still, those factions take a while to get up. Basically, the only way you're going to get exalted, if you're not doing the dailies every day for 3 weeks, is farming the Warbringers and getting the talismans that way. But for a fresh 90, that's, you could say, a little bit tedious and very difficult.
Yeah.
It's still manageable, I would think, with just a limited amount of time. So from 460, you'd say you can move into Mogoshan Vaults. Where would you go from there?
Well, one other thing I want to mention, now that 5.3 is out, you want to start your Battlefield Barons quest line. It's a 7-part quest chain, and once you unlock the weekly, you can get 489 eye level gear. That's going to help a ton. And also at the end of that chain, there's a quest that gives you free 502 boots. So that'll be huge.
Now, the gear you say you can get from the quest chain, that's the Leighton Corcoran pieces I've been seeing?
Yeah, the Leighton Corcoran pieces, and you combine them with a Radical Mojo that you get from turning in the quest, and you can get a piece of 489 gear. And they actually have that available for all slots, except your rings, trinkets, and weapons.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right, so you've got some 489 options, a big 502 boot upgrade. Let's say you're moving through Heart of Fear at that point, probably getting into Terrace as well. How big of a jump is it
One
to make it
One big thing
from...
to update real sure, quick sure. is the greater tokens of good fortune, the Elder Charms of good fortune that are dropped on the Island of Thunder. They give you a bonus roll on loot, and you can use them on the Mogoshan Vaults, Heart of Fear, and Terrace of Endless Spring. LFRs as well as normal mode, and the Shaw of Anger and Galleon. Those are the two world bosses to get bonus loots. And right. Since 5.3, they've basically tripled the chance of getting loot from those bosses as well as from those dungeons. So the gearing up through the old LFRs, the tier 14 LFRs, is extraordinarily quick.
Oh, that's excellent, especially since those world bosses drop a higher quality gear than the LFRs do. I mean, that 496 gear off of Shaw and Galleon is pretty superb when you're trying to gear up. So if you wanted, let's say, you're trying to reach that 495 benchmark, would you recommend going with the grinding out on the Isle of Thunder to acquire some of that gear, or do you think it's more or less just kind of a time sink?
I think it's kind of a time sink. I mean, if you like doing dailies, more power to you, and you're going to get Valor for it, which is very good. But I believe the vendor gear from that the Sunreaver Onslaught reputation is like 476. There may be a 496 piece. So I don't know that it's that worth it. I would recommend if you're going to champion a faction and you're going to, you know, you want to do dailies, I would actually go with the Dominance Offensive because they do have multiple items available for Valor. They're cheaper than the current tier Valor stuff. They're 496 pieces, and it's a pretty easy rep to get. They have a decent amount of dailies there.
That sounds like a lot of great options for someone looking to move their alt or even their toon into a raid-ready status with that amount of gear options out there. Shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, and that's not to mention, once you get to eye level 480, Throne of Thunder, LFR opens up, you have four wings there, a lot of gear choices.
Yeah, 12 bosses. It's pretty much, I believe I've ran it on all of my characters every week, and I've gotten at least two pieces.
All right, so now once you've got all this gear, I think it would probably be a good idea to make sure that all that gear is properly gemmed and enchanted. What resources would you recommend using to make sure you're up to snuff so when you show up for a raid, you don't look kind of like a dummy?
Yeah, I use AskMrRobot.com just because, especially for my alts, just because it's simple. You know, it's easy to configure for all your tunes. And it may not be 100% accurate, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, okay. I'd agree. Ask Mr. Robot, it may not be like gospel. It may not be the 100% perfect idea, but it's going to get you 85 or 95% close and give you a good idea of what you're working with. And it's much better than just what most people come up with on their own, because most people aren't math geniuses and can theorycraft this game, and it kind of takes a lot of the thinking out of like your reforges and your enchants, because it does all that for you.
I agree 100%. That actually kind of makes me want to, let's go ahead and transition onto the next topic here. Eric, this is kind of a touchy subject for me, and I really want to spend some time on this, but I feel like raiding etiquette and what most raiders' expectations are for the people that they raid with, I like to assume that it's a widely understood practice to use, you know, voice communications while you're raiding, that the other people have prior knowledges of, you know, how to play their class, what, you know, raid fights that they're going to be encountering. Would you mind touching on that a little bit?
I think there are some certain common expectations and almost, they're not rules set in stone, but they're such common practices that they are essentially rules at this point in time. One being voice over communications, be that Ventrilo, Mumble, TeamSpeak, hell, I've even seen groups using Skype. It's pretty much assumed that people have access to those and understand how to use them. If you don't, they're not that hard to learn, as well as they're pretty simple, and all of those are free. It makes communication much easier. It gives the raid leader the ability to talk through what's happening and give commands on the fly, as well as I feel it creates a more social atmosphere. It's much more social for me to talk to somebody than it is for me to type to somebody. There's also things like with the LFR, pretty much the difference between LFR and normal mode is pretty much if a mechanic on LFR hurts you, it will kill you on normal mode. If you can ignore a mechanic on LFR, it'll probably kill you on normal mode. But all the mechanics are the same, and all the mechanics exist. Like, LFR for Tordos, the bats still come in, and he still does Quake Stomp. Normal mode for Tordos, bats still come in, and he still does Quake Stomp. So there is a certain level of there is a certain expectation that you have run the fights on LFR, which is a negative in my opinion, but I'll touch on that later. And you do understand and have seen the mechanics. It's almost like studying for a test. You've already seen the material. Rating's just the test to see if you understand how to do it. I know a lot of other guilds require a lot of reading and everything on fights. I don't require that of my raiders as much. My raiders tend to only look over the dungeon journal as well as see the fight on LFR, and then we piece it together as a group just from the dungeon journal. We don't go watch like Icy Veins guides or Fat Boss guides or anything like that. But with all those resources, it is kind of becoming assumed that prior to even entering the normal mode dungeon, you've already read up or watched the guides on the fights that you're ready to progress, so you've already become much more familiar with the fight than ever before in the game, in my opinion.
I have a question. When you say you look through like the dungeon journal, you don't necessarily go check out the guides. Do you find that brings you, I almost kind of, you know, more closer as a team? You know, you tend to, I don't know how to put it, but you tend to mesh a little better as you're learning together a fight?
Yeah, that's part of it. It's also the guides that people write, it tends to be very, it's do this, do this, do this, and everything happens perfectly. In a guide, everything happens perfectly. If you've ever been in a raid kill, nothing happens perfectly at all. As well as reading up on from the dungeon journal, you get to understand how your group deals with a mechanic, not how some other group of players deals with a mechanic. So, you know, they may tell you like, hey, right here, you just want to use like a small healing cooldown, when in reality your group may need to pop a bigger defensive as well as use lock health stones. And it definitely is the advantage of my group when we come up with a strategy, we know it's going to work for us every single time. It might work for us, so that's definitely brought us together as a group, because we know that we're not just like following a strategy guide and we know we're going to win. We're coming up with the idea on our own and we know we're going to win. So when we win, it's our win, it's not someone else's win, and that's definitely like a big ups for our group, especially for morale.
Oh, that has to be ultra rewarding when you get to basically figure it out for yourselves.
Yeah,
you don't see that very often. That's cool.
All right, well, more or less kind of going back to expectations. So if I show up on my 505 rogue and I say, hey, I know all the fights and I've done it on LFR, and you bring me in and I zone into the dungeon, you take a quick look at my gear and you see that I don't have enchant on my shoulders, I don't have enchant on my legs, I'm missing gems off of my bracers. Is that acceptable?
For me, no. For me, that's kind of an unspoken rule, I guess, that a lot of people don't touch on. Prior to coming into a normal mode raid, most people will expect you, and they won't tell you this, they're expecting your gear to be gemmed, reforged, they're expecting to be respec'd, retalented, and reglyphed to whatever is optimal for your class. And a lot of people know how to play the other classes, as well as a lot of people just get bored and read the theory crafting on other classes. So it doesn't happen so much in my group, because we kind of know that all of us are good enough to understand what we're doing, so we don't tell each other what to do. But I do know in a lot of lesser, I don't want to make them seem like they're worse than us, but in a lot of lesser progressed guilds, you'll have that one guy that always knows everything about every class. And so if you come in and you don't have like the most optimal glyph, they'll usually say something. But that's definitely an unspoken rule, that when you enter a normal mode raid, you're completely gemmed, reforge, enchanted everything to be as optimal and do the most damage or healing or tanking that you're able to do.
Yeah, I agree that that is an expectation of the majority of the groups. Now, the guild that Kung Pao and I currently raid out of, we have a lot of casual raid groups there, and that expectation is not quite so high. And I think it's fair that if at least you go to Ask Mr. Robot and put some effort into making your character as optimal as within reason, I think most people will find that to be acceptable. If you're going to plug into a group, if you're going to join a raid team, find out what you're getting yourself into. Ask them, you know, hey, how hardcore is this? Are you guys just casual? If you don't want to put a lot of work into your character, find out what kind of situation you're putting yourself into before you make that jump and someone ends up being ugly or disrespectful to you. Because no one enjoys that type of situation. Now, you were talking about LFR, and I guess you were kind of wanting to touch on, do you think it's fair for people to expect other people in their raid group to have to go do that? Or, I don't know, is that boil down more to a personal preference in your mind?
For me, I don't require my raiders to do their LFR. I don't require my raiders to cap their valor. I don't require my raiders to get their Mogu Runes of Fate. That being said, all of my raiders run their full LFR every week, cap their valor every week, and get Mogu Runes of Fate every week. So I might be in a unique situation in which I don't have to have that as a rule because my group is highly competitive with each other within itself. They love to beat each other on fights, and they will never let the, you know, when you're top DPS on a fight for 3 weeks and then you lose on that fourth week, they will never let you forget it. So everybody in my group kind of does whatever they can to get as most optimal, to the point of, like, our shadow priest stands in melee so that his little apparitions hit faster. crazy things like that. But there is a point in which I have an alt that I have two alts that I run with other guilds in order to help them out with things that they're having problems with, to help them get a little bit more progression, a little more gear. And I know that having a player that's done the fights before and raid-led the fights before in your group is a huge help, because they can help you get over any humps that your group encounters. And having experienced what other guilds require of their raiders, it is to the point where people are saying, we raid on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. server time. You're expected to have your full TOT LFR completed prior to raid. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I spend about 20, 25 minutes in queue and then about 45 minutes in one of the wings of TOT. If I'm to get my full TOT LFR completed prior to raid, I'm already looking at investing close to 5 to 6 hours. Then I'm looking to sit down and raid for approximately another 3 to 5 hours. So I'm looking at a 10-hour day on Tuesday. For me, right now, I'm a college student. It's summer. I don't have anything to do. That's acceptable. During the school year, there's no way in hell that I'm going to have 10 hours to sit down on a Tuesday every week and get my full Throne of Thunder LFR done. And for those groups, it's a requirement and it's a rule, and they stick by it and they live by it and they'll kick people for it. And I think stuff like that with LFR is very, very negative to the game. The majority of raid groups don't actually have a problem with their item level. You're really not going to run into anything where, as long as you're about 500 eye level, Leshen normal mode is actually geared and tuned to a complete raid group of 500 item level. So you don't need a huge item level to complete the fights in TOT as long as you know the mechanics. But a lot of people can't do the mechanics, and they need that extra item level to get overcome it. And LFR is just a tool that people use in a negative way to get people the better gear, and all it is a time sink that they're actually not fixing the problem. They're applying a Band-Aid, but it's not fixing their problems.
That's a very interesting point of view. I've not actually thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's you do make a good point there, and the one thing about this tier that I've noticed over, especially like Dragon Soul or previous tiers, is you can't really outgear this one quite as easily as you used to be able to.
Oh, you can. You really can't. Anybody who's dropped a conductive lightning ball in the pool on Genrock will tell you, regardless of your item level, you're dead.
Oh, yes.
yep.
As well as anybody who's tried to, like, cheese any of the other fights, if you don't handle the mechanics correctly, you're just going to die. And you're going to die very fast, you're going to die very painfully, and it's going to be painfully obvious that you didn't handle the mechanic correctly. To the point of, on our first kills, when we were handling the mechanics not as well, we were running into enrages. We were, like, between anywhere from, like, the boss is going to enrage after they use this ability and kill all of us, to boss enrages in 30 seconds, to, well, on our second kills, we were 2 or 3 minutes ahead of the enrage timers. And it wasn't because our damage went up or anything. We just handled the mechanics better. You're really never going to hit, or in this tier, you're not going to run into a boss that is just a hard DPS burn. Think Ultraxian in Dragon Soul. Ultraxian was just a hard DPS burn until he killed you. You had to beat him before he beat you. There isn't a fight in TOT that is beat him before he beats you. It's handle the mechanics correctly. Usually doing the mechanics on the fight gives you a DPS increase, like Tortoise or Horridon with the doors, that crash shell debuff, that gives you more damage. So as long as you're handling the mechanics correctly, you're actually making yourself better and giving yourself more time to actually kill the boss.
Yeah, Horridon is a great testament to doing the mechanics right versus doing the mechanics wrong, and it's showing up very obviously for your raid team.
Horridon's great.
The add control as far as interrupts and dispels requires a lot of multitasking from almost everyone in the raid. And I found that to be a challenging fight until we learned to overcome it. But once we did, you get a genuine sense of accomplishment from most of the boss kills. Genrock, he was a good entry level boss, and then Council mechanically was not a big hurdle to overcome. But going back to what you said, where the group had to kind of troubleshoot it until we figured it out. Once we did that, it was another big accomplishment for us as well. And I think they did a great job with the tier, applying that kind of feeling for the group to enjoy, not just, you know, kill the boss, let's see what loot he has.
Yeah, it's definitely much more rewarding than previous tiers when you just went in, did your thing, and got out of town.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. The fights are much more engaging. They're much more fun. They give every role has something that they have to deal with, instead of just being like, oh, this fight tests your healers, this fight is all just about your tanks. Every fight kind of has something that is interesting, fun, and different from every other boss fight in the game so far.
That's definitely exciting. I can't wait to see what they have for us coming forward. We're running a little long here, so just something really quick, and then we'll wrap this up. Eric, I know you guys have managed to progress through 12 of 12, and you're working your way through heroics at the moment. Do you have anybody on your team that's acquired the Legendary Cloak yet?
No, I'm actually the closest person to acquiring the Legendary Cloak. I'm 6 of 12 Titan Runestones. We haven't raided this week, so I'll see where I am at the end of this week. I'm not expecting to get it this week. I'm expecting to get it next week. But the Legendary, anybody who's done the Legendary quest and actually done that storyline, it's amazing. The items that you get are amazing. And I would tell everyone to get as far along with that questline as you can. It's the storyline with Rathian is just one of the best storylines that they've put into the game. And the item rewards that you get truly make you a Legendary player. The metagem being upwards of like a 40k DPS increase for our Shadow Priest. Just to the tune of getting a different metagem, lets you know how powerful that Legendary actually is.
That is quite impressive. I'm currently rather close to getting the metagem for my character as well, and I have to agree, the entire questline has been extremely rewarding. Even the part where, I believe, leading up to where I am now, there was a bit of questline where you needed to go kill a certain mob. It was rather challenging, and you needed to go do a couple of PvP events that I was very remiss to do. But it was actually still a lot of fun. Well, gentlemen, I think this is all the time we have for today. I thoroughly enjoyed having you, and I hope anybody who takes the time to listen to this has learned something, walks away, takes something from it. And we will be returning within the next week or so with a new episode. And I sincerely hope you enjoyed and you join us. Have a good day, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Later, everybody.